It is Elliot Friedman, NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. I don't need to explain it. You know who he is. Elliot, I know you're a big basketball guy as well. You've done basketball on this station a couple of years ago. So your thoughts on these Raptors? I mean, they've never really pushed in their chips this way like they in franchise history like they have this year.
You know, Dan, I believe this. At certain times, you have to reward your players and your fans. You have to say, we're going for it. And he's done it this year. And even if it doesn't work, I say good on him. Sometimes you just have to try. And you can never fault anyone for going for it. I think it's a good gamble. I think it's a good gamble for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, Boston, they're an improving team, but you don't know. Cleveland, obviously, is the best team, and they've got the one guy who can win everything by himself. But with Love getting hurt, you got to throw your best team together and take your chances. And you know what? The other thing, too, is Lowry. I mean, you know, I know they're confident he's going to come back, but you never know. And just in case they don't, just in case he doesn't, you can always say, look, we took our best shot with him. I think it's a great call, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
You got to understand your window, and that goes for basketball. The Blue Jays are coming up on that time as well, and hockey as well. You have to understand your window and when to take your chance. And I think Masai Ujiri knew that perfectly, and I also just love the way he works. You know, the entire world knew that the Suns wanted a first round pick for PJ Tucker, and Masai just sits there and waits him out. And he's like, okay, fine, we'll take your 2 second rounders. It's just amazing what he can do. Masai Ujiri. Is there any team in the NHL that pushes in their chips the way the Raptors have this trade season?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, you know, you talk about what Ujiri did with the Suns.
Yeah.
This is it's the trade deadline is one big poker game. Okay? It's a whole bunch of people at the table, and everyone wants to show they've got the biggest cojones. And that's what we're doing right now. You know, it's interesting. Like, you sit out there, and Arizona was asking big prices for guys, and they made one deal, and they're waiting on a couple of others. And you know, I think I think Pittsburgh still is one of those teams that's let everybody know we're here to repeat, and we're ready to do things, and we'll deal with the consequences later. So I think that Pittsburgh is one of those teams that's got their chips all in. You know, you've got Washington. They've had a great year. You know, Brian McClellan the other day said, we're just going to do it at the fringes, but they've got all their chips in for a different reason. They're betting on what they've got. So I think the teams that there's some teams that have all their chips in, Dan, that are just going to say, look, I like what we have, like the Capitals. And I think you're going to see other teams like Pittsburgh, I think, will be one. I think Nashville is a team that's going to try to get Duchene or somebody big to play forward. But I think you've got the Chicagos, the Minnesotas, the Washingtons, the Floridas, who might add like a power play piece here and there. They're the ones that are saying we're all in with what we've got. You've got the Pittsburghs, the Montreals, the Calgarys, I think, are going to try to do something that's a little bit bigger.
Elliot, your 30 thoughts. The headline, the Red Wings telling teams they're open for business, which makes a lot of sense considering they will miss the postseason for the first time in forever.
Yeah.
Outside of a Thomas Vanek, a Steve Ott, Brendan Smith, guys like that who are unrestricted free agents in July, is there anybody else that may get peddled out of the Motor City?
Well, I think what they've been looking for, like they were all in the summer, I think, on Trouba. They were really trying to get him. And, you know, it's Ken Holland really hasn't talked about it a lot, but I think they were looking at it like, okay, is there a three-way option we can do with Winnipeg that, you know, will get us that player and get them a defenseman, because there wasn't a defenseman on their roster that the Jets liked. And I think they tried to do it with Jonas Brodin in Minnesota, but he didn't have a great year last year. So they were trying stuff like that. I think if you could tell them that you could get them a 22-year-old first-pair defenseman, that they would look at you know, whether it would be Mrazek or Athanasiou, somebody like that, they would consider doing if it got them a 22-year-old first-pair defenseman. Now, I can go on here and say that. There aren't a lot of those guys. Like, you, for example, you take a look at Colorado. They're dangling, obviously, Duchesne and Landeskog, but they've pulled people like that's what they want, too. And those guys are really difficult to find. I think if Detroit could get that, they would consider one of their younger pieces. I think they've also had kind of Tatar and Nyquist out there a lot this year, but there haven't been many takers because they've both had rough years.
Yeah, they certainly have. From a Maple Leafs perspective, would Brandon Smith kind of hit the Maple Leafs radar?
I think he's the kind of guy that they're looking at, a defenseman who, you know, doesn't necessarily have any term that they can look at on a potentially rental basis. I think it depends on the price, but, you know, I think that's the kind of guy they're looking for. I think they're looking for a fourth line center. You know, we've mentioned Brian Boyle before with them. You know, Detroit has a couple guys like that too, and Glenn Denning and Sheahan that Babcock liked. I just think the one problem with them is if you look at them, I think Glenn Denning's got a 4-year extension at 1.8 a year. I think Sheahan's got another year at 2-something. I'm not sure Toronto would want to do that. I don't know 100%, but I think those are the kind of guys that are on their radar. I think their moves right now are more depth or complementary as opposed to anything significant, but I do think they've got their lines out there.
Elliot Friedman, our guest on Sportsnet today, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, our NHL insider, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. You mentioned, you know, teams looking for defensemen. Are defensemen being overvalued right now on the trade market?
You know, I think it's a fair question to ask. You look at last year, the trade that Edmonton made for Taylor Hall for a one-on-one for a defenseman, although we had a lower cap hit than Hall, which is why New Jersey said it would have to be a one-for-one. But, you know, he's been really good for them. You know, he doesn't have the biggest name, Larson, but he fits, and he's made that team better. And, you know, I think that that kind of sets a market. You say, okay, you want a defenseman, that's what it's going to cost you. You know, Michael Stone cost Calgary a third-round pick and possibly a second pick if they re-sign him. Ron Hainsey cost Pittsburgh a second-round draft pick. You know, if Shattenkirk goes, depending on what, how many teams sit there and say they want him at the end, even though I think St. Louis is really frustrated with the process right now, he might get a first rounder. So the rental D are big, and if you want a guy with term, like look at what that's going to get you. It's going to get you a Matt Duchesne or potentially a young player from Detroit or a Landeskog or something like that. Defensemen who move the puck are really hard to find. And I think that that's where we kind of are now, where if you want somebody like that, somebody with term, it's going to cost you big.
Do you think the Leafs then move off of Hunwick or Polak as they are unrestricted free agents?
I think it's possible. I mean, to me, it comes down to, you know, do they want to make the playoffs this year? And I think they do. And I think they like their young – first of all, they like the fact their fans are excited. Okay.
Yeah.
They like the fact that their young players are playing meaningful games. You know, do they really expect to do it this year? I don't know, but it's great that it's happening. And I think you're competitive. When you're in this position, even though these guys are still very young and you're not expecting to win a Stanley Cup right now, I think if you're a competitive person like A, those players are, and B, the coaches and executives are, you say publicly, you know, it's not the biggest deal in the world if we don't win, but I think you're disappointed if you don't get in there. You're sitting here this close, you at least want the chance. So to me, I wonder if I was sitting there running the team, the question I would ask is, yeah, sure, you want more assets, but at the end of the day, is it more important for us to get assets or go for the playoffs? I think I don't necessarily see them trying to make their team weaker. What I do see is, can we make one move that gives us assets and then maybe make another move that might appear lateral, but we think that makes us better?
Elliot, what are you anticipating in these next couple of days overall in the NHL? Because we saw an NBA trade deadline pass, and there were so many promises of blockbuster deals with guys like Paul George and Jimmy Butler, and you know, people were going to be moving contracts. Now, I'm not saying that's the same thing with the NHL, but there were seven trades yesterday, which was nothing. Are we looking at maybe it's going to take a domino effect of one team dropping somebody like a Matt Duchene, and then all of a sudden it's going to start? Are we thinking that this could be a really quiet deadline after all?
Well, my history with the NBA and NHL trade deadlines is always that the NHL one has more volume than the NBA one. I don't know why, but it never appears in most years, if you compare them, there's more action in the NHL, and you know, the NBA, the biggest NBA deals tend not to happen at the trade deadline. And I think there's a couple reasons. Number one being, you just have bigger rosters in the NHL, so it allows you and in the NBA, the draft is two rounds, in the NHL, it's seven. So between the bigger rosters and the bigger draft, I think there's just more flexibility to do things. This year in the NHL, it appears much quieter than normal. I would say that. It appears like we're not going to get as much. However, I always qualify that by saying, even as a supposed insider, there's a lot going on there that I don't know about. Like, you know, with all the stuff we report, and there's very good reporters who cover hockey, how much do we really know about what's going on out there? 10%, 20%, whatever. So I think there's always things going on that we don't know about. And I always think there's the potential for something that's big, like we don't see coming. A couple of years ago, for example, when Gavrik went from the Rangers to the Kings, and he helped be the final piece of a Stanley Cup win, like that's one that came out of nowhere. So I always think there's the potential for a big deal that whacks us in the head and comes out of nowhere. Now, this year, I'm not 100% sure who that's going to be, but I still do think there's the possibility for a Duchene deal. I still do think there's the possibility for Pittsburgh or Montreal to do something big. And, you know, I just think you've got a few more teams now that are willing to make moves that jar it loose a little bit.